Certainly a delight to be here. I can't say enough good things about your church, and we follow you because our family is here, and so we're all the time seeing you online and videos, and you've got some staff around here that's a bunch of goofballs. I don't know when they ever get any work done around here, but we sure do enjoy those videos. As a matter of fact, we've even shown them some of our marriage retreats and different things of that nature. We have the great pleasure of staying this week or the next couple days in the Magic House. It's great. We can go in. We can just throw our stuff anywhere, and it just gets cleaned up. Some of you, I'm sure, are aware of what we're talking about there. A little silly video they put together, but what a blessing. It's a joy to be here, and good to see some familiar faces as well. What a blessing, and glad to see some folks we know and love so much. We've been praying for your pastor. The Lord would get him back on his feet, and praise the Lord for the sustaining of life. And you never know the impact and influence that your pastor has on America and around the world. And I want to say as well that your church choir is something else. And we always enjoy listening and watching and hearing all that the Lord is using you all to do. And what an exciting opportunity you all have to go to the Indians game, sing the national anthem, and I just represent the Lord, and you all always look so nice when you guys go out and do those types of things. And I want you to know that it has an influence on other churches in America and communities, and I appreciate all that you all are doing. What a wonderful thing. It is a blessing to know Buddy. I used to be his youth pastor, and I married into his family, a wonderful family, and he's a young man that's been through some things with the Lord, and the Lord's been faithful to him and matured him and grown him. And he married a sweet, wonderful young lady from this church. Couldn't be more thrilled to have her and her family as part of our family. And what a great joy. What a great blessing it is to be here. I've longed to be here. Ever since Buddy came, I've wanted to be here and see what the Lord's using and doing in his life and how he's using him in the ministry. I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate your pastor's influence in Buddy's life and in the life of our family. He has no idea the impact that he's made in our own home. And we went through some things about a decade ago, and you may be familiar with some of those things, but we won't get into the details. Your pastor has been a great help to us as a family, and we certainly appreciate that, and certainly in Buddy's life, and we're rejoicing in it all, thanking God for your pastor and for this church and for your church staff. Well, we're from Texas, as Brother Andrew told you. We're from Texas, and we don't have White Castle. And so I introduced my children today to White Castle. I don't know if that was a good thing, but we're looking forward to eating something a little bigger later. You know, everything's bigger in Texas. We come to Indiana, and everything's smaller. So I don't know what's happening here. But do y'all sell big hamburgers, cheeseburgers around here? Is that all you got? Yeah. I was told today that you have to have a reservation on Valentine's Day at White Castle. Is that for real? Y'all just messing with me. People line up to eat them things? The one we went to today looked fallen over and dilapidated, and I said, this thing's going to be out of business soon. I thought, who in the world? I looked around. We were the only ones in there, and by the time we were leaving, somebody else came in. I thought, how in the world do they stay in business? Y'all like that stuff here? No. Some yes. Yeah, well, I gave mine to the kids. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, we had a great time. Pray for our family. When this is all said and done, we'll have traveled 42 hours in the car. We've came from what's known as Central Texas, where the largest military installation in the free world, Fort Hood. Anyone here ever stationed at Fort Hood or been to Fort Hood? How many of you served in the military, prior military, maybe active duty military? The Lord bless you. Thank you for your service. Our church is 85% active duty or retired military, and so it's my great privilege to serve those who've served our country. These are America's real heroes, by the way, and serving us and loving the Lord and doing it all and sacrificing. I'm so thankful for the sacrifices that you've made for us. We're there in Central Texas. We ran over to South Carolina, easily South Carolina, up to Pigeon Forge, and then to Indianapolis today, and then we go back on Friday back to Central Texas there in Nolanville. It's a 16-hour drive. We're trying to love each other as we go. I'm praying when it's all said and done, we'll all still be together and loving one another. It's been great, but I'm looking forward to getting back into my private office there at the church and just getting some quiet. great. And they're looking forward to me doing that as well, I think. It's a blessing. Let's go to God's Word today. It's always a wonderful blessing to get to preach God's Word, and I appreciate Pastor Ted having me in his pulpit tonight. I know what that's like. I've got someone in mind tonight, and I'm certainly concerned about that, as they'll be getting started here in just a moment at our church, and asking the Lord to help the man there that'll be preaching. But I appreciate Pastor Ted extending the pulpit to me tonight. And I pray that the Lord will bless this and use it in your life as well as in mine. I've been enjoying the book of Acts recently. I've gotten to a habit of reading a book over and 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 over again, trying to determine truly what God is saying. Oftentimes we read a little scripture here, a little scripture there, and we pull pieces out that we'll teach or preach on. But it's fun to read the entire book to see what God is saying and get a synopsis of the whole thing, and then to go back. And I've been enjoying the book of Acts, and our church has been hearing some preaching out of the book of Acts. But I want to speak tonight on why we must cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. If you look with me in Acts chapter 5, if you look there, and let's look at verse number 42. Acts 5 and 42. The Bible says here in Acts 5 and 42, you could probably quote it right along with me. The Bible says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." That's a great thing to do, isn't it? Would you read that along with me, please, out loud as I read Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. Let's begin. "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." That's a great thing for all of us to do. It's a wonderful thing. This is a great statement. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And we could look at this statement and we can understand that that's a great thing to do daily in the temple and in every house. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. But there's quite a bit in this statement as we read Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42 that we would totally miss if we didn't take the time to back up and consider some things that had taken place, and why the Scripture and God by His Holy Spirit has inspired the writer to say, "And daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." It's a pretty great statement when you consider the things that they've gone through, the things that they've experienced, the things that they've put up with, these followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been about 3 years ago since Jesus Christ, from the time that this statement is speaking of, it's been about 3 years ago since the Lord Jesus Christ started His earthly ministry. He began healing, and He began sharing that He was going to go, and He was going to bleed and die for the sins of the world, and that He was going to come again. He began His earthly ministry. He started calling His disciples to be with Him, and He began teaching them and training them. Men who used to catch fish are now supposed to go out and catch men, and God is teaching them and working with them. He's establishing the very first church. I believe that the church started with Christ and His disciples and was empowered at Pentecost. And He begins with starting His church, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ began healing and doing miracles and calling disciples and speaking of Himself being the Son of God and He Himself being baptized and God sending down a dove and a voice from heaven that proved that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, really created quite a stir in Judaism. Really created a stir in the church, the Jewish church, the synagogues. The Lord Jesus Christ is stirring some things up with His statements and the works that He's doing and the healing and the lame man and the leper and the blind man, and He's raising people from the dead. Jesus Christ's earthly ministry has begun. And from the very beginning, the Jews wanted to get rid of Him. The religious leaders of His day were trying to get rid of Him, to crucify Him, to have Him expelled. They thought this is just going to happen for just a little while and He'll be done. Jesus began and started His earthly ministry. They thought they could get rid of Jesus with just a few threats. As we remember, Jesus Christ would go into the cities and villages and He'd heal, and the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees and the Sadducees would come along and they would try to put their hands on the Lord Jesus Christ, but He would escape. And they were trying to get rid of the Lord Jesus. They were making threats to the disciples and those who had followed Him, and they were outcasts, and they were following Him everywhere they could to try to find something that they could pin on Jesus to get rid of Him. But just like ketchup, when you try to wipe it away, it just spreads a little further. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry is happening. The church is spreading. It's going on. It's going on for the cause of Christ. And people are coming to know the Lord Jesus. They're following Him. They're becoming disciples. There's some that are nestling up against the Lord Jesus. And those who've been touched and healed and those who saw those miracles are trying to do everything they can to get closer to the Lord, to learn more about Him. His fame is spreading. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. But we all know that He didn't stay dead. He rose victoriously from the grave. He burst forth out of that tomb. He rolled the stone away, not for so He could get out, but so that we could see in. And God did that for us. The Lord Jesus has now walked 40 days on the earth after His resurrection. He's been seen of His disciples. He met with them and he showed Himself to them. "See, Thomas, my hands, and see my side, look at my feet." And He was seen of a crowd of over 500, and many believed on His name, and His disciples grew, and they were added to the church, and it continued to happen. And now Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives, and He's getting ready to ascend to the Father, and He gives His disciples a responsibility. He says, "It's time for you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And His disciples and His apostles and those that were there with Him, the first church, they looked at Him and they watched Him ascend to the Father. And then they were told, "Why stand you here gazing?" They're to go back and they're to wait on the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. The power of God is going to come upon you. "And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." And the disciples go back and they wait in the room and they're waiting on the Lord Jesus. And they're there, they're meeting together, and they're wondering when they're going to be endued with power. But not just with any power, with God's power, the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, there's no power like His power. He can part the seas, He can heal the lame, He can raise the dead. Oh, there's no power like His power. They know that if they're going to do anything for the cause of Christ, they must have His power. And so what did they do? They waited. They waited. In Acts chapter 2, the power of God comes down. It fills them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon them. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ have been filled with His Spirit. They've been accused as they were out speaking in tongues and speaking many different languages. They've been accused, the disciples and the apostles, of speaking of being drunken men early in the morning. And they said, "We are not drunken, but we are filled with the Spirit of God." God's power and God's presence and God's work is continuing forward. What they thought they'd got rid of, they just stirred up a little bit like a hornet's nest. The disciples are going around and they're preaching. Many wonderful things are happening and God's doing a great work. God's Holy Spirit is filling these men. Just like they saw the Lord do many wonders and signs, now they too are doing signs and wonders. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41, if you'd look there back up with me in the scriptures, if you would, in Acts 2 and 41, we'll see that as they were obedient to the Lord, they got to see God do some wonderful, amazing things. The Bible says, "They that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls." Could you imagine a church getting together and preaching the gospel and people being saved and people being added to the church? 3,000 souls baptized, added to the church. What a great thing. Man, we'd all leave knowing that we saw the Lord and His power and His filling and His Spirit, and that God's presence was still alive. The man that walked with them, he's alive and he's still with us on this earth. His Holy Spirit is still with us. These disciples are seeing the little bit of the power that came down from heaven that's filled them. They're still experiencing the Lord and seeing God's mighty hand working. They got to see some amazing things. The followers of Christ, they're growing in number every day. Acts 2 and verse number 47, the Bible says they were praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Man, we get sideways and all excited and thrilled when on Sunday somebody comes and walks the aisle and trusts Christ, or on Tuesday during visitation, or whatever the day of the week it is, or days of the week it is, that you all go out and go soul winning and visiting and knocking on doors and someone trusts Christ. Man, we get worked up and excited about that. But daily people were being saved. The power of God was moving. God was at work. Oh, may God fill us with His presence and His power. Their boldness is growing. The believers are growing strong. They're moving forward in their boldness. They're trusting God for more and more. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 19, would you look there with me, please? Acts 4 and 19 and verse number 20. The Bible says that as these men, they were persecuted. The apostles were going out and they were persecuted. They were pulled together and they were told that they need to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered in verse number 19 and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for which he was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom the miracle of this healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported to all the chief priests and elders and said unto them, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, and hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom they anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 31, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, do you understand why they could not but cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ? There's no way they could stop after all that they've seen God do, and they saw God do many wonderful works, even though they were threatened and their hands were laid upon them and they were threatened never to preach again. They said, we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard. We are witnesses of these things. And they prayed and they asked God, oh God, grant thy servants boldness. Lord, we've seen persecution in our day like we've never seen before, and we need extra boldness from thee, God, to continue to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Oh, may God fill us with that boldness. How weak and meager we are. We leave up out of here, our chests may push forward with pride, and our hearts might be thrilled with anxiousness about going out and sharing the gospel when it comes time. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. Boldness seems to push away, doesn't it? We begin to think about, don't think I'm weird or strange. Who am I to speak to them? Our old self, that old devil, starts playing tricks in our heart and mind, doesn't he? Instead of pulling that track out, we keep it concealed. We go on our merry way. All but these disciples, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Oh, as they're teaching and preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, these Jews are all worked up, man. I mean, there are people leaving the church left and right. The synagogues are becoming empty. The people are meeting out in fields and in houses, and the houses are getting crowded, and they're filling the yards and the gates that are around them, and people are putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and these disciples of the Lord, they're going around house to house. They're teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, and churches are popping up all over the place, and assemblies and meeting places, and families are getting released from religion into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're getting excited and filled with the Spirit of God, and they're going out and they're telling their co-workers and the businessmen, and they're getting excited about what God's doing in their life, and they're alive spiritually for the first time ever. Well, they've been religious all their life. They're now alive. And these Jews, these Sanhedrin, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they don't know what to do. They're losing people left and right. How are we going to hold it all together? Our money's going out the door. What are we going to do? How are we going to keep this oppression upon the people where they obey and do what we say they ought to do? How are we going to keep our thumb on them? These radicals that are these Jesus followers. So what do? They go out. And they find these disciples and these apostles, and they bring them in. In Acts chapter 5, they bring them in. Verse number 17, the Bible says, and the high priest rose up. Acts chapter 5 and 17, he rose up. And all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to all the people, all the words of life. When they heard that they'd entered into the temple early in the morning and taught by the high priest, they came and they were with him, and they called the council together and all the sin of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Let me just tell you the story. Let me tell you what happens. They bring them all in. They said, wait a minute. We bound you up. How are you? How did you get out? What are you doing? What are we going to do? And they decided amongst themselves that they were going to put them to death. They're going to kill the apostles. But another man comes in who seems to be a little bit more wise than them all. A man who's seasoned, who'd seen these radicals, who'd seen these people pop up before. He comes along. His name's Gamaliel. In chapter 5 in verse number 34, you could trace it all the way down. And Gamaliel comes in and he says, now look, let's just let this thing pass. These guys, they're these zealots. It's all going to come and go. It's not going to be for real. If it is for real, if it truly is something of God, you're not going to stop it anyway. But we all know that it's not of God. This is going to end soon. Before we stick our necks out there as Pharisees and Sadducees, as the Jews, Before we put these guys to death or harm them or hurt them, let's just give it time and watch it go away. Oh man, so Gamaliel, that's exactly what they do. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 40. The Bible says that the Sanhedrin agreed, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Let's not read too quickly over the fact that they had beaten them. No longer was it just a verbal warning, now it's a physical beating. They've been imprisoned. They've done time in jail. Verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. By the way, that's a mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Rejoicing in the midst of persecution. Rejoicing in the midst of suffering. Rejoicing in the midst of things when they don't go your way, you can still keep your eyes on the Lord because God has never changed. He is still our firm foundation. He is still strong. His promises are good. When our eyes are set upon this world, we can't rejoice. But when we keep our eyes fixed upon Him, and we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard, we can rejoice. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Take up thy cross and follow me. That I might know the fellowship of thy suffering. They were counted worthy. They rejoiced that they could suffer with the Lord. Oh, so many of us, we know nothing of suffering. Nothing. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see, there's a lot into that statement there in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. And there's so much more that we could give for sake of time. We won't. But what a statement. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for wonderful churches like this. And I'm thankful for the heritage that we have at Northside Baptist Church. We just celebrated our 30th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken. You guys are right in the 20s, late 20s, if I'm not mistaken, right in there. Amen. And so we're excited about that. Excited about the heritage that you have and your pastor founding this church and doing a wonderful thing. We come and we meet together and we expect Christ to be taught in this place, don't we? Amen. Amen. Your pastor wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want it any other way at Northside Baptist Church. If someone's going to come, that they ought to preach Jesus Christ. I just spoke to the staff, this young man that's going to be preaching. I said, you can never go wrong preaching Christ. We expect Christ to be preached here. And you know what else we expect? We expect that in every church that they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. But dear friend, that's not happening. That's not happening. But we cannot cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Why? Number one. because people are dying and going to hell. Hell's a real place. Hell's a real place. The only message that we have to keep them from hell is the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, the burial, and the resurrection. The gospel message is the only message that can save a soul from hell. Hell's a real place. It is what it is because it's the devil is there. Heaven is what it is because it's the absence of the devil and it's the presence of God. Hell's a real place. People are dying and going to hell. It's no joke. It's no game, dear Christian. The life that you're living, the work that you've been given to do, the commission that God has placed upon you, the mission that he's given you to do, one who knows the light, who does not share the light. Oh, there's going to be a great day coming where you and I will stand and give an account of the work that we did as his disciples, as his followers, whether we were faithful to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There are people all around us dying and going to hell. Your neighbor's dying and going to hell. Your coworker is dying and going to hell. The attendant at the gas station or at the grocery store is dying and going to hell. People all around us are dying and going to hell. There's a generation being raised up now that knows nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. We like you, have vacation Bible schools, and you'll go, we'll go, and we'll pick these boys and girls up on buses, and they'll come in, and even good families, great families will come in, and they'll come to the church, and we'll ask the boys and girls, do you know who Jesus is? And they'll go, I've heard of him before. People are dying, and they're going to hell. We have a work to do. We cannot cease in our teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. Number two, we cannot cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ because people are confused about how to get to heaven. I don't know if that's the case in Indianapolis, Indiana, but in Texas, there's churches all over that are preaching all kinds of silliness, thinking people are coming and they're listening to preaching thinking that they're okay. Watch one service of Joel Osteen and you'll realize there are scores of people who are dying and going to hell and confused about whether or not they know Jesus Christ. We have a church, it was started, and my realtor put them in a building right across from our church building. He called me and apologized. And I said, well, we'll see how it all goes. It's called Vintage Church. There's nothing vintage about it. One Sunday they had on May 4th or whatever it was, they had May the 4th be with you. And they all dressed up like Star Wars characters in the parking lot. And they were holding street signs and they're all out there. And I thought, what in the world is going on with that church? Every church member dressed up like Star Wars. They're growing leaps and bounds. It's the fastest growing church in our community. They don't teach the Bible. They don't do anything. We've had people come from their church to our church and they say, our children don't know anything. They're not being taught anything. One family testified and said, we stopped going there because our kids were just so wound up after church. It took us 2 hours to get them calmed down. They just go and they play and they jump around in the gymnasium with loud music and flashing lights. And they don't learn anything about the Lord. About a half a dozen of those kids came to our vacation Bible school that we just had last week, and every one of them trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm telling you, people are not teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. We think everyone is, and they're not. Not every church is doing it. People are confused about how to get to heaven. They just built this brand new building. It's huge. And their big marquee sign outside, it doesn't even have their church name on it. Do you know what it says? Their big marquee sign. You know what it says? It says, you look amazing today. That's the message they're getting out to our community. You look amazing today. That's not spirit worship. That is soul worship. They're worshiping mankind, trying to draw people in, just trying to tell them they look good, make them feel good, get them in and make them feel good. Look, there are people who are not teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. And there are scores, hundreds of people each Sunday packing into that church thinking that they're going to heaven because they feel good and they attended some kind of a service or they're a member of that church. But there are people who are dying and going to hell in churches like that. When I was a teenager, my parents, they used to sing in West Virginia. We'd travel. Mom and Dad would go around to little churches, and they'd sing. And one Sunday, we were going to be at a church and where my grandparents went. My grandparents were lost, didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we went to that church, and Mom and Dad sang, and it was time for the preacher to get up and preach. And our grandparents came because it was in the same community as in which they lived. And we were excited that our grandparents were going to get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and maybe that God would work in their heart and get saved. You know what that preacher did? In a Baptist church, you know what he did? He opened up a Cat in a Hat book, and he read the Cat in a Hat book. He closed it up, and he said, okay, let's pray, and we'll all go home. We cannot stop teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. You sit week in, week out, week in, week out, week in and week out, and if we're not careful, we think that everybody knows what we know and everybody knows how to get to heaven. But there is a devil, a real devil out there, who is the author of confusion, and he has his ministers, and they creep in unaware and they spoil what God desires to do in this world, and people follow them blindly. We cannot cease. We cannot stop. And our teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, we must, because people are confused about how to get to heaven. Number three, we must not cease to teach and preach. We must not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only way. There is no other way. Dear friend, if you're here tonight and someone has told you there's another way other than putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection for you. If you think being baptized is going to get you to heaven, dear friend, you're confused. You're wrong. If you think being a member of a church is going to get you to heaven, you're wrong, dear friend. If you think that being a good person and good works is going to get you to heaven, it will not. It will not. There is nothing that is going to get you to heaven but putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 14 that straight is the way and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, there are many that are confused about how to get to heaven, but there is only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We must go the Jesus way. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Dear friend, our works cannot get us there. Our good deeds cannot get us there. Our work in a church cannot get us there. Our pedigree, my daddy was a deacon, my grandpa was a preacher, that will not get us to heaven. There is only one way, and it is by you placing your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We must realize that we're sinners and we're all in need of a Savior. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. Dear friend, can you agree with that tonight? That you too are a sinner? Can you tell the Lord, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know there's things that I've done against thee, God. I've lied, I've stolen, I've cheated, I've cursed, I've used thy name in vain. Lord, I know that there's sin in my life. Well, dear friend, that is the first step of salvation. Admitting that you, like the rest of us, are sinners. Recognizing that you're in need of a Savior. And knowing that Jesus Christ came to become your substitute. He took your place on the cross. If you believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, you put your faith in that, in Christ alone, then and only then, and you have eternal life. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Dear friend, you need Christ today. If you don't know Him, if you're putting your faith, you've got one foot in your good works and one foot in Christ, you've got one foot in the wrong place, and dear friend, that's going to take you to hell. If you're going to get on board, you've got to get both feet on board. It's by faith. We're trusting in Christ and Christ alone. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Dear friend, you can have a firm foundation. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name. Salvation through His blood. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Dear friend, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know Him? If not, receive Him today. Accept Him by faith. Confess that you're a sinner. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. He will. He'll give you eternal life, a home in heaven. He'll fill you with His Spirit, with the person of His Spirit. Oh, He'll change your life. He'll change your life. Dear Christian tonight, do you know Him? When is the last time you were so compelled that you could not but speak of the things that you have seen and of the things that you have heard in your life? When was the last time you gave your testimony to a friend? When was the last time you gave a gospel tract to someone and asked them, do you know Christ as Savior? If you died today, do you know if you'd go to heaven? When's the last time you compelled someone to trust Christ? When's the last time you brought someone to hear the preaching of God's Word? When's the last time you spoke boldly in the name of Christ? When's the last time you put self aside and said yes to Christ and became obedient to Him? God is looking to fill us, but He will only fill us as we're obedient to Him. He will give us of His Spirit. He will help us to speak boldly. May God help us in this time.